Welcome to the Fat Talks podcast. Here we will share lessons to help you on your business and fitness journey. I'll be sharing practical solutions from building my business and having mind-opening conversations with amazing personalities too. My name is Tomi Rotimi. I'm the founder and creative director of Exclamations by Tomi Rotimi, a proudly Nigerian premium ready-to-wear brand I founded almost 2 decades ago. I'm also the author of the best-selling book, Fat Transfer from Waistline to Bottom Line, a book on life lessons for fitness and business. Welcome to Fat Talks. Hello, welcome to my podcast. Welcome to another episode of Fat Talks by Tomi. Today's episode is the second part of last week's episode on sugar. I think I promised you that I would give some practical tips on how to implement the no sugar habit. And I think it's important to do that because a lot of times we know the right things to do. We even know the consequence of doing the wrong thing. What we don't know is how to actually put these things into action. It's one thing to have a goal. It's another thing to have a roadmap. Okay. So these are just little things that I did in trying to eliminate sugar from my diet. Now, I just want to give a bit of a caveat. Now, not everybody has to eliminate sugar from their diet completely. You know, I know how for some of us, it's not practical, it's not feasible, it's not even something that we want to do. But reducing the amount of sugar in your diet is something I feel everybody should aspire to, because there is way too much data and research and information out there to show that there is a negative effect on our health when we take too much sugar. So the less the sugar we consume, the better. Okay. So if we can eliminate it completely, obviously that is by far the best. But if we can gradually reduce the amount we consume, I think it means we're halfway there. So that is the goal. So I have not had any sugar, not having had any processed foods whatsoever in about 50 days now. It's close to 50, almost, not quite there yet. But we're close to 50 days, I think about 48 days. And I'm beginning to just take cognizance of the things that I have done to help me, right? So let me go right into it. This is some of the practical tips on how to manage your sugar intake. First things, before I go into the nitty-gritty of it, I want to say something. If you take more sugar than you would like, if you're constantly craving sugar, I think I said this during the last episode, it's not your fault per se. Hear me out. Sugar is a drug. It is just as addictive as cocaine, which means there is a chemical reaction in your brain when you take sugar, which means the more you take it, the more you crave it. And it's almost impossible to resist it once you start on that trajectory. I'm saying this because if you think that you can reduce the amount of sugar you take simply by sheer will, through discipline, you know, then you are putting yourself on the more difficult route to achieving this. It's going to be very difficult to work against chemistry or biology. it's going to be very difficult to work against the science. If sugar is a drug, and the more you take it, the more you crave it. It also means the less you take it, the less you crave it. So what you want to do is set yourself up not to take it. Therefore, not to crave it, right? So I wouldn't say that I am so disciplined. I haven't had sugar, you know, because, you know, I have this will power working for me. That is absolutely not true. One of the things that I enjoy consuming, right, one of the things that I really like, my own poison as it were, is white bread, soft white bread. If you're in Nigeria and I mention agege bread, you understand what I mean. I can't resist it. If I have it in my home, I will eat it. I can barely resist chocolates as well. Just plain milk chocolates. That's my thing. Nice, rich vanilla ice cream. That's my thing. If I have these things, it'll be difficult for me to resist it. And of course, it's a slippery slope from there. So this leads me to my first point on how to set yourself up to consume less sugar. Set your household up. Set your environment up. The first thing I decided to do when I decided to cut sugar was not to stock sugar in my home. To take it from, you know, out of sight is out of mind, so take it from sight. If you look into my fridge, you might think I'm being deprived. I don't have any white bread in there. I don't have any cookies in there. I don't have any ice cream in my refrigerator. I don't have any chocolates. But guess what? I have soda. I have soda in my refrigerator. Just in case I have guests that would like to have soda, I have soda in my refrigerator. But guess what? Soda is not my problem. I've never had a problem resisting soda. I did many, many years ago, but I weaned myself off soda. And so now I don't care how cold the bottle of Coca-Cola or Fanta is in my fridge. I will not be tempted. You know, the one time I think in the last year that I had Coca-Cola, I had a sip because I was really parched. So I literally had a sip because I was really parched and there was nothing else, you know, around. So set yourself up for success. Out of sight is out of mind when it comes to these things. If I really crave white bread in the middle of the night, I'm not going to go to the bakery down the road to buy some. But if I had white soft bread in my fridge and I crave it suddenly, I would go there and take it, right? If I felt peckish and I wanted a snack and there was a bar of chocolate in the freezer or in the fridge, I would reach for it. But if I don't have that, I'll reach for anything else that is in the fridge. And in my case, it's probably apples. So I'll just take an apple. And if there's nothing, I will just power through that craving and have nothing. So my point is, I have set myself up. Now it's been almost 50 days. I'm getting to the point where I'm not craving it anymore. It's possible, and I might just test it out, it's possible that if I have bread or chocolate in my fridge, okay, maybe not chocolate, I think it'll be difficult for me to resist chocolate, but bread, I think I'm weaning myself off gradually. If I had bread in my fridge now, I may not reach for it as quickly as I would before. But if the craving came and I had just the right amount of condiments and accompanying, you know, spreads and all, I might just be tempted. So I'm setting myself up for success by not having these things in my home, not having them within reach. I think for me that has been the game changer, right? And so I suggest that, you know, they say abs are built in the kitchen. I go a step further And I say abs are built in the supermarket. If you read my book, Fat Transfer from Waistline to Bottom Line, where I talked a lot about this, I talked about how abs are built in the supermarket. So when I'm shopping in the supermarket, right, I am a bit more conscious as to the things I put in that cart. I think that may be where my discipline or strong will may step in. Knowing what to put in the cart, knowing that what I put in the cart is setting me up for success or failure when I get home. I'm not going to put stuff in the cart that will set me up for failure at home. Right. So that's one big thing that has really helped me in staying off sugar in the last 50 days. All right. Number two, another thing that has helped me is involving my household. I know this is a tough one, depending on your family members. But right now, it's just my husband and I. And we both decided that we're going to do this because we both had our health checks together. And we were both told that we needed to have some lifestyle changes, which included reducing our sugar intake. That's for both of us. So when I suggested to him, look, I wanted to do this and I wanted him to come along, he resisted it a little bit. I may or may not have threatened him a bit, but eventually whatever tactic I used worked, and he agreed to no sugar, no processed food. He hasn't been quite as successful as I have been, but I will easily give him an 85%, right? I have been 100%. I would say my husband has been 85%, but it has really helped to have him on board. Now, if my husband insisted that he didn't want to be part of this, and he still wanted to have his bread, because he's also a bread junkie like me, you know, we both had to agree that we're not going to stock bread at home. We both had to agree to do this, and that has really, really, really helped. In fact, I would say next to setting my home up, this has been the second thing that has been really helpful. And I think both of them actually go hand in hand. You know, so if you can, right, involve your household, let them buy into it a little bit. Let them understand your goals for this and why it is important to you. And let them also understand why it is important to the health of the household, not just for you. It's not what we want, right? We don't want a situation where we are healthy, but our family members are not. You know, I read something somewhere recently where someone said, that the reason why she was morbidly overweight was because of her genetics, and that everyone in her family is morbidly overweight, so it's not something she can help. And the nutritionist that was on the panel said that the problem wasn't that she was genetically wired to be overweight. The problem was that there was a generational problem with habits and with the diet, that they have all grown up eating the same thing, craving the same thing, moving the same way, ignoring exercise, that not moving enough and eating the wrong thing has been a habit in her family for generations. And she has grown up normalizing eating processed foods, eating too much sugar, normalizing overeating, normalizing not working out, because this is what she has seen in her family over the years. And so this is what she considers to be how to live her life. So if you're trying to set your family up for good health, you need to start to create an environment that they can mirror, particularly your children. I want my daughter to look at my life as, this is how a middle-aged woman should live her life. She should exercise. She should be mindful of her mental health. She should be ambitious. She should eat right. I want her to see my plate and subconsciously embrace my lifestyle and my eating patterns, right? So that when she gets my age, this is what she knows. I think this is probably one of the most important things I can tell you right now. In my family, my mother and my father are very health conscious. And they have been for a very long time. I'm at a point in my life now where I can remember some of the things my mother did at my age. Some of the things my father did at my age, right? My father was an avid tennis player. My mother had always been very conscious of what we eat, right? Even now, I don't worry about them so much because they are still very conscious and I'm still learning from them. This is what I know. When my mother and I talk about food, this is what we talk about. We talk about the kind of foods to avoid, the kind of supplements to take, right? The cooking methods, the healthy cooking methods that she's discovering. She's still learning. She's still constantly researching. This is my normal. So it's not so far-fetched that none of my immediate family members are overweight. But guess what? Many members of my extended family are, particularly the women. So I can see that it is in my genetics to be overweight, right? But the lifestyle that I am mirroring is what has helped me. So it's not out of place for me to get to this point because I've had the example and I want my daughter to have the same thing. So I'm carrying them along. Right, I'm carrying my husband along, I'm carrying my children along. So please, if you want to be successful, that's something that could really help. Make it a family thing, right? That leads me to the third point, and we're almost done now. Now, I told you I eliminated bread, right, which was a major contributor to my processed food repertoire and my sugar intake. Bread was a big one. Chocolates, biscuits, those were all part of my snacks, right? So one of the things I had to do, particularly because I was involving my husband, was to replace the bad foods with good foods. This one is everything. Now, what I used to replace my bad foods could be different from what you used to replace your bad foods. But what is important is that whatever we replace the bad foods with, the sugar with, has to be satisfying, has to be almost indulgent. For me, when I decided to take bread out, I needed to replace bread with something else that was a breakfast food, but that was still very satisfying. I personally replace bread with yam. Now, this may not be your own thing. You think about what it is. For you, it could be porridge and fruit. So for me, it was yam and fish. And I would prepare this in a local delicacy that brought me memories from growing up. And I would have this with some juice. I would set my plate up like I made an event out of it. And I was very generous with my fish and with my sauce. And my yams had to be just right. Like I made a conscious, deliberate, intentional effort to make this replacement indulgent. And I also did the same for my husband. So when I'm preparing our meals, I'm really creating something special, right? And I've done this with other meals as well. So I'm having my other local delicacies that are rich and sumptuous and satiable. So this has been huge for me, replacing it. So for snacks, if I feel peckish, I have groundnuts. Now, groundnuts are high calorie, but nuts are good for you. Remember, this is not a weight loss goal for me, even though I will lose weight just because I have reduced the amount of calories I'm taking through sugar. But that was not the goal. This was just to remove processed sugars and processed foods. So I have my nuts. I have my fruits if I do feel peckish. But I really enjoy my meals. Like, I am not trying to deprive myself. And I think that's a big thing. For most of us who try to do these lifestyle changes, the first thing we want to do is to deprive ourselves. Eventually, that will catch up on you and you begin to feel like rewarding yourself with bad foods. Reward yourself with good foods. Reward yourself with good foods. So that was a big word for me. Rewarding myself with good foods and ensuring that my food replacements were indulgent and satisfying. Huge, 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 huge. So set yourself up and carry your family along, but also make sure that what you are replacing your bad foods with are not things that make you feel like you are struggling or you are suffering, right? You need to trick your brain into feeling like that these healthy foods are actually super, super, super rewarding and indulgent, right? So that is a big one for me. My final point would be on actually rewarding yourself, right? So one of the big things I have done is reward myself. I buy myself stuff when I have achieved a goal in this regard. When I hit 20 days, I got myself, I think, a really nice headband, right? When I hit 40 days, I got myself a jewelry set, one that I had been kind of having on my wish list for such a long time. When I reach 100 days, I'm going to get myself a really nice bag. Like, that is, I'm already planning it. When I reach 100 days, no sugar, I'm getting myself a bag. So what that does is also helps me to create an expectation, right? Creating this goal is something that also inspires me, right, to keep at it, you know, so do that. You know, is there anything else I'm missing? I think that is it, really. I think that is it. There is more, but really these are the main things that I think has helped me to stay the course and keeping myself accountable to myself is another big one. And I do that by doing this, by sharing my story on the podcast, by sharing with loved ones, with anybody who I feel might be experiencing some of the challenges I was experiencing, like the pains I was dealing with. I always suggest, look, you have back pain, you have insomnia. Have you tried eliminating sugar? I find that when I share my story, it keeps me accountable, right? And that has been big. So thank you for helping me remain accountable by listening to this podcast and by sharing this podcast. So that's it. That's it for today. Thank you so very much for listening to this. Please, this one is important to share. Please share this episode and the previous episode on sugar. Please share it with your network. It might just save somebody. Many of us are dealing with so many consequences of indulging in too much sugar. And we are assuming that these things are normal, that it's normal to feel this way, right? It isn't. Yes, some of us may be prone to this due to other underlying conditions, but eliminating sugar, reducing the sugar intake is never a bad idea, right? I'm going to end with that. Thank you so very much for listening. Stay tuned to the next episode. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to my podcast. This was an amazing episode. Please subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Also, buy the book. Bad Transfer From Waistline to Bottom Line is available on Amazon and also on www.tomirotimi.com. I would love to hear from you. Let me know what resonated with you in the episode or in the book by tagging me on Instagram at tomi.rotimi or tag the book page Fat Transfer by Tomi. Looking forward to the next episode. Tune in, please. Thank you and bye.